welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Praise God. Praise God. Good to get in the glory and worship God and just praise the name of Jesus. You know, Colossians 3:1 says, set your mind on things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And that's a great, powerful opportunity in worship that we have to just set our mind where He is. I mean, just setting your mind in heaven where Jesus is and glorifying Him, seeing Him glorified, just brings the powerful presence of God. Praise God. Amen. Well, as I'm looking out, I'm seeing the green, and I'm actually especially missing Faith Murray right now. She's our Irish gal. Did she? All right. Thank you. Thanks, Michelle. Right back at you, Faith. Hi, and to you and Bob, and we're blessed. Praise God for their love and support. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. As we do, we're going to start with a passage of Scripture in Ephesians. And a powerful passage of Scripture. It says, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Passion of verse 20 puts it this way, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Wow, that is a passionate translation of that verse. But it's describing the power of God that's in you and his ability in you. I mean, you think about limits. I mean, we think about the love of God. You know, who can know how wide, how long, how high? It passes knowledge. It's like this limitless love. We kind of get the same picture of God's power in us. I mean, he can do abundantly above all we could even ask or think. So we know that we don't have a power problem. I mean, we're talking about the power who lives in us. He's not saying out there or in heaven. He's saying the power that works in us is like this. Powerful scripture. You think, wow, that's amazing. But, you know, we're going to take a look at another scripture similar to this. Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. New Living, I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength. Wow. So we see in these two passages of Scriptures, you know, that we have strength and ability and power that's beyond our own natural ability and power. We have the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. And he doesn't just live there for the sake of living there. As the temples of the Holy Spirit, he is there to live in us and to live through us and to empower us to live in a way that we just is beyond our natural ability. It's amazing the power that God has given us. And I know a lot of times in my life as a Christian, I forget. Wow, I've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I have to remind myself over and over because it's easy to forget that God, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us, the power, the person who lives on the inside of us. So this morning is kind of a reminder message, all right? The title of the message is, Don't Forget That You Have Superpowers, all right? Don't forget that you have superpowers. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't just a force of power. He's a person. We love him, third person of the Trinity. We respect him as God. But that person, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, has ability that he has for us and in us to work through us and in us. In fact, the scripture says we're not serving anymore in the oldness of the letter of do's and don'ts. We're serving in a newness of spirit. We're serving in a newness of Holy Spirit superpower that has been given to us to live this life. And I'll tell you one thing, what God brings back to me when I start getting complacent in my walk with the Lord, I get it complacent in my Christianity, and I feel like I'm going through the motions, and it feels like it's drudge, and I'm trying to do the right things. God brings back the simple revelation that it's by the power of the Spirit of God that we live this life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes Pinocchio into a real boy, that takes your theology of what you believe and brings it to life to where it actually has impact. The power of the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder message. Don't forget, you have superpowers. Now, those are some big scriptures we looked at, you know, and we're not going to just hit you and run. We're going to take those scriptures and we're going to look closely at them. We're going to look at the power that the scripture says we have by the Holy Spirit to be able to do all things. The power that's in us that can do abundantly above all we could ask or think. We're going to look at those superpowers that we have in the Holy Spirit. This is huge. This is what makes walking by faith, living for God amazing. The thing that makes you want to get up every morning and see what God's going to do today when this is real to you. Praise God. Well, first of all, first superpower we're going to look at this morning is the power to fly over sin. You have the power to fly when you got born again. You got the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and the Spirit of God can fly over things. Here's the scripture in Romans chapter 8. It puts it this way. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So what the scripture is letting us know here is that when Jesus died on that cross for our sins, it wasn't just a matter of the penalty of our sin being paid for, but there was unleashed in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ a brand new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. If you back up into Romans chapter 7, that chapter before this, this is where Paul sounds a little schizophrenic. He says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, the things that I do. He said, so I'm kind of going back and forth. You know, God, you know, help me. You know, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? It's just back and forth. He says, you know, I find, you know, when I want to do good, that there's a law. The law of sin and death in my members is warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity. So there's this battle. There's this wrestling match going on. We have it. We experience it. But we've been given a superpower for this battle. We don't have to stay hopelessly on the merry-go-round of this battle. We can live and break the power of sin in our life, any area of our life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you can think of it like a plane taking off, you've got the law of gravity that keeps that plane on the ground, but there's a law of lift that doesn't do away with the law of gravity. It just supersedes the law of gravity. So when that plane is going down that runway at a certain speed with the wings tilted at a certain angle, the air is going to catch it and it's going to push that plane up, and that plane is going to fly over. The law of lift is going to fly over the law of gravity. And one of the superpowers that we have is we have the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that's greater than the law of sin and death. We have that power. We have that ability in Christ. Now, we're going to take a little deeper dive in what we mean by that. And there's going to be some things you've heard before, but I believe this morning that they're going to be put in a certain order, in a certain sequence, that I'm believing you're going to see big picture stuff this morning that's going to help you get free from every weight and sin that has so easily beset you, that this is going to be a new day where we're going to see some things by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that it's going to cause us to break free, to fly over some things. All right? We know in principle that there's these two laws. Peter talks about it in more graphic detail how this works. He says, his divine power, here we go again, power, superpower, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which knowledge have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. So what he's saying there is, man, God's got this knowledge. He's imparted his knowledge into these promises, and that through these promises, we partake of that divine nature, the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Passion has a very powerful way of putting it. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. In other words, here's our superpower to live right. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. As a result of this, he has given to you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. This is, we're starting off very theological. This is so important. Everything we do, believe, we say, preach has to be based on the foundation of God's Word. And this is what God's Word says. God's Word says that he has given us his knowledge in the form of promises, and that in these promises, there is the power to live right. There is the power for everything we need for a godly life, and that the power are in these promises. Now, this is an important understanding that we need to have as it relates to superpower in getting free from things that hold us down. A lot of times we think of the promises of God in terms of receiving something from God. And this is absolutely true and right in a godly important context. Receiving, maybe the financial help or healing or protection, provision, whatever it is. There can be a form of, I'm believing God according to his promises because he has tremendous promises of meeting our needs. He has tremendous promises of taking care of us as we're seeking first the kingdom of God to add the things that we need to us. They're all there. But we got to understand something, that the power of the promise is greater than just receiving things. There is a power of promise to live right that's in the promise itself. It's powerful. When you think of Jesus, when he was being tempted of the devil in the wilderness, you know, Jesus said to him when Satan was tempting him, he said, you know, turn the stones into bread. Man will not, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was quoting the scriptures and getting strength from the word of God. Satan was saying, you know, just fall down and worship me and I'll give you this. Jesus said, you worship the Lord your God and him only will you serve. What is that? There was power. There was power in the word of God that Jesus was exercising when he was speaking that word of God. And I want to give you an example of this. And I want to give you an example of this as you're reading your New Testament. And I'm just believing, praise God, for all of us as we read our New Testament, that we begin to see the power in every part of our New Testament, every part of the scriptures that God has inspired us. Here's an example. Here's an example of an exhortation to live right. We're going to look at a couple examples. First one, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. Now, if you read that with a law mentality, you're going to read it like this. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from every... You're going to read it with a kind of a finger pointing... And let me just put it this way. This scripture is not a finger pointing command of condemnation. You need to... It's not doing that at all. There is power in the word of God to do what it says. So when you're in your wilderness and you're experiencing your temptation like Jesus, you can say, it is written, For this is the will of God, my sanctification, that I should abstain from sexual immorality, that I should know how to possess my own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. What is that? There is power in that word. And when I declare that word, what happens? I experience a partnership with the divine nature and I escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you begin to declare the word of God in the face of temptation, there is power in that word. This is what I want to get across. Maybe it's a little paradigm shift. Don't look at this as New Testament instructions. I got to do that. I got to do that. Yeah, the Gentiles. No. No, 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 no. The power of God, knowledge, God's knowledge has been given to us in the Scripture. And when we declare the Scripture, what is this? This is, what am I doing when I'm saying that? That's the sword of the Spirit. That's the spoken word of God. That's the rhema of God. And when I'm declaring the word of God, I got power, supernatural power, by faith to live right. And when I'm declaring the word of God, there's a partnering of the Spirit of God who I've been born of, the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me, who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. He partners with me as I declare that word and gives me strength to live that word. This is an important thing. Man, standing in faith in the Word of God, in faith in the promises of God, extend to being able to live godly in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness is wrapped up in the promises. We have superpower to live right. You can't do it by law. You can't do it by your own natural ability. You can't do it through just natural self-discipline. We need the Spirit of God to live right. We need the Spirit of God to overcome. And it is a powerful thing when something that has maybe had you or trapped you, you're free from it. You're free from the power of it. Let's take a look at another classic one along these lines. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Praise God. Here again, the Scripture, the Word, is not here to nag you. It is not here to condemn you. It's not here to say, look what you're going to say. No. There's power in this word. At the point of temptation, when I can say again, it is written. It is written. I'm not beat up by the Scripture. I'm not serving in an oldness of the letter. If I was still serving in the oldness of the letter, yes, it's another thing on my to-do list. It's another thing I have to keep track of. Yes, that would be true. But I'm not serving in the oldness of the letter. I'm serving in a newness of spirit, where the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of me takes the power of these words, and I partake of the power that's in these words to live right and to do right. Praise God. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I got to forgive. It's a whole different paradigm. Instead of, I got to forgive because the law says I got it. No. It's a newness of spirit. Right now, like Jesus modeled it for me, in the middle of my temptation to be bitter, I declare, instead of trying to forgive, I declare the word of God of forgiveness over that situation. And I say, praise God, it is written, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I'm changing the channel to trying to forgive in the politics of my own mind and backstory, and I'm just simply looking to the word of God, and I'm declaring the word of God. I'm swinging the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. That is the weapons of God that are powerful through Him. They're not carnal. The world has all kinds of carnal weapons. The world has all kinds of psychology and psychosis and things that'll put you on a merry-go-round you can't get off of. But God has very simple weapons. The same simplicity of the gospel that's available for whosoever will has the same simplicity of the sword of the Spirit that can swing it for whosoever will. Regarding of your intellect, your social status, whatever it is, these things are simple. And He'll bring you back to that simple truth of God's Word. I'm not just trying to forgive. I'm declaring the forgiving power of God's Word over that situation. There are promises that have been given to me that through those promises, there is tremendous promises that I experience partnership with the divine nature. And there is something about it. When I'm tempted to say and want to say that to in my mind and my heart, I'm not saying it naggingly, But I'm swinging the sword and I say, it is written, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification. When I say that, when I declare it, I experience that partnership. I experience the Holy Spirit rising up on the inside of me. I experience a power beyond myself. I experience superpower. It's the superpower of the Holy Spirit. And it is amazing. And this isn't to be confused with self-discipline. There's a self-discipline the world can have, all right, where you're just denying stuff and not doing it. But there's a Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit of self-discipline, all right? I mean, there's a self-discipline and there's a spirit self-discipline. When you rise up in the Spirit, it's totally different. It's a totally different kind of self-discipline. It's a fruit of the Spirit self-discipline because you're rising up in the power of His Spirit and He gives you the power to not do stuff. And because when it comes to Spirit self-discipline, you know, self-discipline is just like, I don't want to do that thing anymore. Spirit self-discipline isn't just about not doing that thing anymore. Spirit self-discipline is about getting that thing put away so I can do what God's called me to do. It's a whole different perspective when you're walking in the newness of the Spirit. Because He's got a whole different agenda. Not to get free so I can say, I don't do that anymore. I have to take the credentials, religious credentials. That's all done. You're running a race. You're looking at something. That thing's getting in your way. You got to lay aside the weight and sins that it's besetting me from my race, from my prize, from my upward call. And so as you begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a whole different thing. I can live right. Praise God. And it has nothing to do with holier than thou. It has to do with the power of the Spirit of God who's given me promises that pertain to life and godliness in my life. And thank God when I declare that word, there's a partnering that happens with the Spirit of God and the Word of God that gives me the ability to fly over that sin. It is supernatural. And if you've lived for God any amount of time, you've experienced this. You've experienced you, and you're almost wondering, who am I? I'm under the influence of the power of the Spirit of God. Praise God. And it is glorious. I'll tell you what, a lot of times people get a little squeamish, especially in the New Testament times, about preaching about sin. It's not about preaching against sin. It's about preaching about the power of the Spirit of God that makes me free from the law of sin and death. I'm flying. I'm going somewhere, right? I'm not just getting off the ground for the sake of getting off the ground. I've got an upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus that I'm pursuing. And so, yeah, I do get free from sin, but it's a means to an even bigger end for the prize that's set before me, for getting those things that are behind, reaching forward to that upward call. And so there's a perspective. There's something that's going on where God is making me free. And I'm not afraid of sin. I have superpower when it comes to sin. Praise God. I got the power of God to fly over that. And I fly over it just the way Jesus flew over it. You know, there's a great kind of summary scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Here we go again. Final one. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all. And we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, then we taste His abundant life. So now this means something. When I put to death the deeds of the Spirit, what am I talking about? By the Spirit, I'm putting to death the deeds of the body. I'm putting to death those flesh. I'm taking the power of the Spirit of God with the Word of God. I'm declaring the promise of God over that thing. And there's power in those promises that cause me to come above the law of sin and death. And there's a partnering with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that gives me the strength through which I can do all things. But it's through that powerful partnership there. You know, there's a scripture in, I think it's James, that says First John, it says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You know, the wicked one has a sway. Sway just means to move back and forth in a rhythmic motion. And this world has a sway to it. Back and forth. The thing about the world, though, is the world doesn't know they're the world. The world doesn't even know they're swaying. There's a power of the enemy. And to them, this is normal. This is what normality is. And there are people who are swaying.
that we need to reach. We need to reach the whole world. But there are people who are swinging. They're going, man, is this weird? Is that right? Is that a little off? I don't know, but I better keep swaying because this is normal. And if I stop swaying, I'll stop being normal. I'm telling you, there's a power of worldly peer pressure on us that is stronger than anything I've ever experienced in my lifetime. There's a pattern of the world that we're not to conform to. There's a sway that we're not supposed to sway to. And the world's swaying to it. And this is the thing that wakes me up personally. Because when I'm getting kind of frustrated or complacent with spiritual things, here's the thing of it is, if you stop walking in the Spirit, if you stop going after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you will start swaying with the world. You'll theologically know better, but if you're not walking in the power of the Spirit, you don't have the power to stop swaying. The only thing that gives you the power to stop swaying is the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's it. Nothing else matters. Your credentials, what you've done for God in the past, your spiritual pedigree, whatever that is, the Apostle Paul said, I crunch it up, I throw it away. There's only one thing that I'm standing in, the grace of God. By the power of the law of the Spirit of life, I got to go back to this. I'm walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what makes me free from the law of sin and death. And I'm not going to do it. So I know the world doesn't know they're swaying, but you know what? The Holy Spirit lets me know when I'm swaying. He says, come on, Ed, time to get back in that jet and take her back up. You got places to go. The Holy Spirit can break the sway and cause you to fly over the law of sin and death. He's given us the power. He's given us the ability, praise God, to live free, to change even as we go above those things. When you get free from something, it is a cool thing because He'll change your want to. Again, He gives you a desire. He's showing you places you're going where you don't have time to mess with things because your life is bigger than that. And your life is bigger than just not doing that thing anymore. You're going somewhere, all right? So that is, there's a power to fly over sin. There's also the power of a fearless mind. This is an amazing superpower. Could you imagine if you had the superpower, then in the middle of any fear, you could use this superpower and not be afraid anymore? Boy, that would be a mighty superpower. Do we have that? Have we been given that kind of power? 2 Timothy 6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. New Living, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Wow, this is such a powerful passage of Scripture to realize that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. It's so simple. It's almost like this morning we're talking about the love of God. If the thought of the love of God sounds cliche to you, you got to keep thinking about the love of God until it's not cliche to you. It's not supposed to be cliche. It's supposed to be life-changing. Man, it's that first truth that you got a hold of when you receive Jesus Christ into your life, that man, God loves me. God so loves the world. You know, we talked last week about how something has to happen to you as a believer. The same thing that happened to you as an unbeliever when you got the revelation that it was your sin on that cross that caused you to surrender and yield and receive Christ, that same kind of revelation has to hit you as a believer. That your stuff, the things you're going through, man, God is there for you right now. The thing about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is that there's no fear in Him. That love, that spirit of love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. There's no fear in love. Perfect love doesn't put up with fear. Perfect love doesn't tolerate fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love, the power of the Spirit of God. There is no fear in Him. And this is the amazing thing about it. That's why the Scripture exhorts us. It says, don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. Keep speaking to each other with words of Scripture, singing the Psalms with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit.
Always give thanks to the Father God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's saying getting full of the Holy Spirit. Get full of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit lives in us. But there, what did the Apostle Paul tell Timothy? He said, fan it into flame. He's in there, but apparently the Holy Spirit can lie dormant, powerless, if we don't actively engage and get filled with the Spirit and fan into flame and do things that stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We have a part to play. And here's the deal. When you're afraid, when you're dealing with fear, man, we haven't been given a spirit of fear. Fan it into flame. But the power, love, and a sound mind, praise God. It's an important revelation that we've got to get, that the Holy Spirit, the power of God, is not afraid of our stuff. He's not afraid of your stuff. He's not afraid of whatever weakness or sins that easily beset you. He's not afraid of your financial circumstances. He's not afraid of your relationship issues. He's afraid of nothing. He's afraid of nothing. And you have the Spirit of God. Power, love, and a sound mind. And the awesome thing about it is, we're talking about superpowers. You got superpower to not be afraid. That Spirit who lives on the inside of you is afraid of nothing. He's not a spirit of fear. He is a spirit to think right, a spirit of sound thinking, the spirit of knowing what to do next and seeing clearly what that is. And that's why the Scripture exhorts us to get full of the Holy Spirit. Because when you get full of the Holy Spirit, you're not afraid of your stuff either. And you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. You have a superpower. You have a superpower to not be afraid, not because you figured it out, not because you've managed a way out, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And He's not afraid. And getting full of Him makes you not afraid. Isn't that interesting? Psalmist said, I could walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I fear no evil. Why? What do you know? You're with me. And there's just something about fanning the flame, getting stirred up. There's just one thing you know, He's with you. That partnering of the Holy Spirit and the Word that causes you to spring back, He's with me. I don't just know that theologically. His presence is here. Like we were worshiping this morning. God seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, it's one thing to know that theologically. It's one thing to come into the presence of God and experience that. And God wants us to live this life experientially, to live in the power of God, to experience that power of God that causes me to not be afraid anymore. I've had situations where I've been dealing with fear and God has dealt with me. He's just saying, Ed, just come into my presence. Get stirred up. Get saturated in the love of God. Just get saturated in my presence. But I need to know what to do. I need the answer. I need to get, once I get the understanding, once I get the answer, then I won't be afraid anymore because I'll know. That's not the way God works. He says, let your request be made known unto me. I'll give you a peace that passes your understanding. It'll keep your heart and mind in the meantime, until you get the understanding. But the peace is going to go out ahead of your understanding. And it's the same way when you have the superpower to be free from fear. You begin, he just said, just get saturated in my presence. Just get saturated in my presence. Just begin to think spiritual things. Go through those promises, worship. Just be led by the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what, and then in that place, then just do what I tell you to do. Instead of trying to figure out the answer, I'm going to go where the answer is. Worship God, get stirred up, fan that gift into flame. I mean, think about that. He's talking to a young preacher who's dealing with some serious persecution back in this day, Nero. You know, rounding people up, fed to the lions. I mean, there's some perilous times going on back here. And he's telling them in that context, fan the flame of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. You haven't been given a spirit of, I wonder what's going to happen next. You've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Praise God. And as you begin to fan that into flame, how do you do it? Songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Pray in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:3. He says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. There is power in praying in the Holy Spirit that'll build you up spiritually. It'll edify you. It'll strengthen you. It'll stir up the gift that's on the inside of you and cause you to just not be afraid because you know he's with you. In the same way you're reading the Word, what are you doing? You're edifying yourself. You're eating food. You're building yourself up spiritually by letting those words of truth be imparted into your spirit. You're eating a good meal, fellowshipping with believers. These are just all different ways that we edify ourselves. that we build ourselves up spiritually. The Apostle Paul even prayed that you'd be strengthened with might by, in the inner man for all patience and long-suffering with joy. There is supernatural power. And that power and that strengthening is what causes us to not be afraid anymore. It is supernatural. Here's an example of Peter. Here's an example of Peter without the power, without the superpower. This is when Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane. It said, a certain servant girl, seeing him, Peter, as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him, Jesus. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I'm not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter denied Jesus three times by, a servant girl and two other unknown people. He was terrified. He was full of fear. And Jesus is right there. I mean, Jesus looked at him the third time. So it's not like Jesus is off in a building somewhere when he's having this discussion. Jesus is right there, denying him to his face, pretty much, full of fear. Same Peter with the superpower. Now, this is after the resurrection. They're preaching. They got a guy healed. They got in trouble for getting a guy healed. So now they have to give an account for why they did this thing. So it came to pass in the next day that their rulers, now this is kind of the who's who of Israel, all right? Now it came to pass the next day that their rulers, the elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, wow, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them, this is Peter and the other apostles who had gotten the guy set free, when he set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now here's the key. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. And this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Wow. He said that before the who's who of the Jerusalem council. I mean, it's important to understand the context that was said. And who said, this is the same guy who nervously before the servant girl said, I don't know him. Now he's standing before the who's who of Israel and saying, this is the stone which you builders rejected. What's the difference? Verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit. Same guy, filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been this Peter? Have you ever been this Peter? We've been each of these Peters. If you live for the Lord very long, you've experienced both Peters. And the difference isn't your personality. The difference is being full of the Holy Ghost. The difference is being stirred up. And who's already living on the inside of you? The superpower to not be afraid. I remember before we'd even hit the streets in Minneapolis, my days back there of preparation, we'd hit the streets of Hennepin with another church to witness to people. And before we would do it, we would have a good hour of just praying in the Holy Spirit, praying, stirring up the Holy Spirit. You know, you can intentionally stir up the power of the Holy Spirit who's on the inside of you. He likes it when you do that. He likes it when you give him your attention. He loves it. There is nothing more precious to God than your attention. And that's what happens. There's a stirring when you give him your attention. And there's a knowing. You know how you fellowship? And you fellowship with the believer? And you talk about the things of God and what God did to you? And it reminds you of something that God did for them. And it reminds you of something that God did for you? And then you kind of go back and forth and back and forth and you got this really cool fellowship going on? That happens on the inside of us as we're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And we get stirred up in the Holy Spirit, and we remember a scripture, and we declare that scripture, and it reminds us of another scripture, and all of a sudden there's this internal fellowship that's going on between you and the Holy Ghost, and you're getting stirred up, and God's in the room. And when God's in the room, you're not afraid anymore, because he's with you. You have a superpower to get stirred up in the power who's living on the inside of you, anytime you want to.
Don't need the man of God, woman of God to come in town at the right time to lay hands on you and experience that supernatural thing. Thank God for gifts of the Spirit when they happen, and they do happen, and God sets people free. I've been set free, but I'm not waiting for something. I can fan that gift into flame anytime I want to. I can exert my superpower of a fearless mind anytime I want to. And I can come boldly before that throne of grace and receive his mercy and grace to help, like the psalmist of old who could walk through those valleys of the shadow of death and fear nothing because he knew he was with him. That's the kind of thing that we have to do and get stirred up as well. Finally, I love this scripture says, whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there just is liberty, emancipation from a bondage and freedom. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's just one of those, you're getting in the presence of God. This is like we said before, I'm just going to go where the Spirit of the Lord is, and there is liberty. I'm stirring up the Holy Spirit, and there just is liberty. I'm just getting it stirred up. When a person turns in repentance, now broader context, it's talking about the Jewish person who has the veil over their face about the law, but when they turn to Christ, they get it. Isaiah 53 connects, you see it. But in principle, we can experience this as well too. When we know the Lord, but we're not focused on him, we're not walking in the Spirit, but when we turn again, man, the same thing happens. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's the awesome thing about the Lord. As you experience his freedom, and there's familiarity. I've been here before. I know him. I know the power of his presence. I know the power of his Spirit. And this is a superpower. This is a the old hymn puts it this way. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's kind of it. And the best way to get rid of the darkness of fear is turn the light on. Because that fear, and here's another little clip of a new song. Some things old, some things new. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. What am I doing? I'm stirring up a superpower of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. I don't have the ability to not be afraid in myself because I'm so macho and tough and blah, 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 blah. But the one who lives in me is truly not afraid. And when you are in fellowship with him and you're experiencing his courage, it's an awesome thing when you have the courage to do what you know you should do because the Holy Spirit is stirred up on the inside of you and you just sense his presence and his grace. That's a superpower from a fearful mind. And then finally, there's a superpower we'll just call of supernatural guidance. And this is such a powerful truth where Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. However, I'm telling you nothing. This is amplified. I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into the close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Now, here's an amazing truth. It had to be hard for the disciples to believe Jesus at the time when he said, it's really a better deal. I'm going to go away. You're not going to see me anymore. But if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's saying, this is a better arrangement than what you've got right now. Do you understand? And sometimes for us, it can be like, wow, is that really better? But here's the deal. You got to remember, when during this setup, before the Holy Spirit came, Jesus was not an easy guy to get a hold of. You had the woman with the issue of blood. She's pressing through the crowd just to try to touch the hem of his garment. You had Zacchaeus climbing a tree just to get a glimpse of him. He had a guy who needed healing and his four friends have to go down through a roof just to get access to him. What are these pictures of? This is the reality that Jesus is in one place at one time and you had to wait your turn to be able to access Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm changing that whole paradigm. When I go, you won't see me physically, but you're going to have direct access to me by the Holy Spirit. Here's what he says further in John. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, talking about that same event, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. You know, one of the most desired superpowers, if you kind of glue, I was kind of interested in this, is looking into superpowers a little bit. But one of the most desired superpowers of people who wish they could have superpowers, we do, one of the is telepathy. Now, the technical definition of telepathy, if you just get technical, it's the supposed, of course it's not considered real, the supposed communication of thoughts or ideas by means other than the known senses. In other words, there should be eye contact, body language, or there's got to be something. But telepathy's no. You can communicate things supernaturally. This is the thing that blessed Jesus when Peter said, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. It wasn't, that didn't come through your senses, but it was revealed to you by my Father who's in heaven." There's a supernatural power. You know, down here, the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. He controls a lot of media. He controls a lot of airways. He controls a lot of information. And if your vital contact with God was dependent upon this world level of media and communication, you're in trouble. God gave you the ability to bypass the prince of the power of the air, natural media is a natural ability, and he gave you a supernatural Holy Spirit. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you is to supernaturally communicate to you. Look what he says. Jesus said, "He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He'll glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Wow. In other words, Jesus, reigning in heaven, speaks through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, not speaking of his own authority. He's speaking what Jesus gives to him to speak. Supernatural communication by the Spirit of God. Praise God. That's a superpower. Isn't it amazing when you get things, the light bulb pops on, and it's, you know, it's not something you thought of. That's the Spirit of God. John puts it this way, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. But the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it taught you, you will abide in him." This is the action of the Holy Spirit showing you, teaching you, leading you, guiding you. This is kind of what I'll refer to a lot of times as the second sermon. There's a sermon I'm preaching up here that we're all hearing. There's another sermon going on in your heart that only you're hearing. That's the anointing, preaching that second sermon to you, supernaturally by the Spirit of God. Connecting truths and things you've seen and heard with your life in ways that only you and him know. That's supernatural. That's a supernatural guidance that comes through him. And you know, the scripture will just kind of wrap up here. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. God has designed us to be able to know and be led by his Spirit." There's a great song that came out years ago, man. This is probably the late 80s, I guess, but probably the song that endeared me to the Newsboys. It's called Spirit Thing. It's not a family trait. It's nothing that I ate, and it didn't come from skating with holy rollers. It's an early warning sign. It keeps my life in line, but it's so hard to define. Never mind. It's talking about the anointing that abides within. It's just a spirit thing. It's just a holy nudge. It's like a circuit judge in the brain. It's just a spirit thing. It's here to guard my heart. It's just a little hard to explain. It pushes when I quit. It smells a counterfeit. Sometimes it works like a bit like a teleprompter. When it's teleprompting you, I pray you'll let it through, and I'll help you with the how, but for now, it's just a spirit thing. It's a holy nudge, circuit judge, here to guard my heart, a little hard to explain. That's really a good way of trying to explain and describe this. It's supernatural guidance. You know, Superman can see through things. With the Holy Spirit, you can see through things. Supernaturally, the whole world is going after something, but you see through it. Why? Because of yours? You know why you see through it, because the Holy Ghost is in you, and he's helping you to see through it. People with higher IQs are getting fooled while you're not getting fooled, because the anointing that abides within, superpower to see through stuff, to stay away from things, guiding you. Superpower, supernatural guidance. So again, this morning's a reminder message. Stir you up a little bit as you're dealing with stuff. I'll tell you what, don't forget that you have superpowers. I'll tell you what, if you can fly over sin and command the power of a fearless mind,
and hear the supernatural guidance of God of what to do next. There is nothing your stuff can stand up against with the power that God has given us, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And again, I challenge you this morning. You got the power to fly over sin. The promises of God aren't just getting things. It is overcoming things. That word is written to overcome. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, the word of the new covenant. There is power in those words when they're declared. That's how we swing the sword of the Spirit. This is how we fight our battles. When we're declaring what God has said, and it's not, it doesn't ring with condemnation, I should be doing that. If there's power to do it, that's in it. That's what Jesus said when he said, you know, just fall down and worship me. He was, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. When he said it, when he declared it, there was power in that. That as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, he had the ability to do what God called him to do. And after that temptation, the Bible said angels came and ministered to Jesus. It's a big deal when you're taking that stand. You can take that stand. The power in the word is the power to live right. Man, it's the power to go where God has called you to go. Nothing more exciting than fulfilling that plan. Power of a fearless mind. The one who lives on the inside of you, again, he's not afraid of your stuff. And when you stir him up, you're not afraid of your stuff either. And you can stir him up and get in his presence to where you've got the peace that passes your understanding while you're just waiting to hear what he tells you to do next. Through power of supernatural guidance. He's there to lead and guide you into all truth, including the answer that you need for what to do in that situation. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we are not serving in the oldness of the letter, but we are serving in a newness of the Spirit. And there's something about that Spirit that we're serving in the newness of. That Spirit is a power through which you can do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. The newness of that Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but it is a newness of power. It is a newness of love. It is a newness of a sound mind. And that newness of Spirit is right there to lead and guide us into all truth, to show us what to do next. We thank you for it, Father God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I have superpower through the precious Holy Spirit. My weapons are not natural. They're supernatural. Through God. Weights and sins that beset me don't stand a chance against the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. When I declare your word, there's power in that word. And the newness of the Holy Spirit partners with me and gives me power and strength to escape the corruption that's fighting against me, to escape and fly above the law of sin and death. It's not by my might, it's by your power. And your power's in those promises. When I declare those promises, that power works in me to overcome. So I swing the sword of the Spirit. And I thank you for freedom. Freedom from fear. No matter what my stuff is, the Holy Spirit has seen it before. He's helped many before to overcome the same old stuff. It's all common to man. But you, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, as I'm full of your Spirit, fanning the flame of your Spirit, causes me to not be afraid. I'm not afraid. And I can't explain why. It passes my understanding. It's a superpower of peace. It keeps my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I can just stand in that place of liberty as I listen for the supernatural guidance of your Holy Spirit, who's been sent to lead and to guide me into all truth, what to do next. I thank you, Father God. I'm not orphanless. I'm not orphaned. I'm not alone. I have the Comforter. I have the Holy Ghost. And I'll never be alone again. You'll always be with me all the days of my life. Even when I leave my body, you go with me, Holy Ghost. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear nothing because you're with me. I thank you, Lord, for the newness of the Spirit. You wanted it lived that way? I'm going to live it that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, this is just kind of a stir-up message. One of those things to get stirred up and remember. It's not a lot of new theology here, I know. But it's just kind of getting stirred up in what we already know and remind ourselves again. Like I said, when I'm kind of getting complacent, I gotta come back to this stuff and realize, hey, this is a supernatural life. This is amazing what God has done on the inside of us by the Holy Ghost. The pressure isn't on my personality or my problem-solving skills. I got a one-dimensional thing to look up, to stir up, and let the Spirit of God partner with me and give me the ability to do what I need to do and give me the courage to do what I need, what I know I need to do. Thank God it's not in the oldness of the letter. It is a supernatural powered life by the precious Holy Spirit who gives us that superpower to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Praise God.